You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Clip-clop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's Saddle Talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride. What you're about to listen to is part two of a series with Jessica Ponte, a two-star Pirelli trainer here in Northern Nevada. If you haven't listened to the first part of the interview, go ahead and pause right now and head on over and listen to that before you listen to this one.
So let's talk about lessons.
Yeah.
Let's talk about lessons.
So my biggest frustration, I think, that I'm running into with today's culture and the explosion of YouTube and Google and AI, I don't want to talk about AI, but I'm going to mention it, is information is actually very easily accessible. There are pros and cons to that. Since COVID, because I'm also a licensed veterinary technician, so I have to maintain CE for that as well. Mm. I can now sit at home and not have to drive 100 miles or whatever to go get in-person CE. I can now sit at home and do in-person CE. It's wonderful.
What is CE?
Continuing education.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Your continuing education.
My continuing education credits.
Unit credits. Okay.
So, wonderful, right? Pro. That's pro. Love it. Love it. Love that technology can do that for us. Mm-hmm. Don't love that technology has so much information out there that is it really credentialed? Something that I learned at university and when we had to write papers on whatever class or topic is that we had to find credentialed resources, meaning journal articles that have been peer reviewed mm-hmm. by other people, like committees,
right?
Multiple people that are within the same entity had a conversation about your article or your research, and they came to an arrangement, an agreement that, yes, we approve that this paper is worthy
mm-hmm.
to be out in the world for information. I do find that there are a lot of what I'm going to call backyard people that claim themselves as, and this is for anything in the world, but as horse trainers.
Oh, we know a few.
Or breeders that, oh yeah, I've been doing this for many years. And I'm not discrediting their years because they have experience in something.
Mm-hmm.
But is it the correct something?
Yeah, just because you've been doing it for years doesn't mean it was effective.
Were you practicing it perfectly? Okay. You could be practicing and practicing and practicing, but was it correct?
Right.
So, and yes, there are a lot of different theories on how to do things with horses, for sure. There's a lot. I think in any topic in the world, that probably has the most theories to accomplish one thing with a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think there are better ways of doing it? Yes. But I do think that it's really valuable that if you're going to, one, lessons are important. Education and information, more money. If you're going to put time and effort into something, more money, time, and effort should be actually put into your education and your lessons than in the equipment, than in your look, than in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's more valuable, in my opinion, in the end, than anything else. Two, if you're going to do lessons, please find credentialed people. Do your research. Also, make sure that you get along with your human.
Well, and also, make sure that you practice.
And that was my number three.
I'm sorry. Did I steal that? I'm sorry. I mean to steal
I don't
your
even
thunder.
Remember what number I was on. I think it was three. But it was. There was a sign on Facebook that was going around recently. And it's like, did you do what your instructor or trainer told you to do? ? If the answer is no, then maybe go back to what they told you and practice that. And also, please, as someone who is an instructor, I tell all the students, please don't be afraid to reach out to me. In fact, all my instructors do the same. And do I reach out to them often? No, I don't. But I should. Okay. But I will sometimes send them video too. Okay. This is what happened.
Please help.
What do I do?
Yeah.
Often videos or like having an explanation of what you're doing. But reach out to your human and don't just go Googling more and more, because what happens is then, especially in horses or in any animal behavior, in any animal training, if you start mixing and matching 100 different theories.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my, your poor animal, your poor horse. They are so confused now, mm-hmm. because you've not stick with one thing for 5 to 7 sessions.
We say that all the time, is just choose one.
Yeah.
Choose one avenue, one form of communication avenue. Then that way you'll be successful.
Yeah.
But even if it's not working, one, reach out to your instructor, mm-hmm. if you have one. And two, if it's not working, then okay, maybe start researching something else. Honestly, most of the time it's because our technique, we're doing something funny.
That's my problem. That's where I come in. I really needed you there because I was worried. I knew how to, I'm using air quotes. I knew how to train to side pass. I say that very loosely.
Yeah.
Okay. And I knew it had something to do with put them in front of a wall and do something and get them to go like away from you. But every time I tried to use the stick, I felt like all I was doing was banging them in the head. And I just felt so like, I think I did it once or twice and I was like, okay, you know what? No, I will wait 3 weeks until I can see Jessica, because I know I'm doing this wrong. And yeah, I could do it 20 minutes every day and get good at it, but it's wrong.
But, and that's the thing is like, I'm side tangenting for a moment.
It's okay.
One of my instructors who is an Olympian rider, okay, a Paralympian rider. So that's a whole nother topic also. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing human. And I took instruction from her last year, I think, with my old man, Black and White. And she went, "You are blocking that horse's mouth." And I was like, what? Never knew, never realized. Nobody had ever mentioned anything that I was literally in his way. Literally in his way. And we had instilled a bad habit in quotation marks.
Right.
That we put in there because we were practicing it like this.
Right.
And exactly. So... that being said, you know, that's why if you're going to master anything, you really should be overseen by an instructor, credentialed instructor.
Yes.
And Sandy, what Sandy could have done to even make her progress faster, she could have reached out to her instructor with her video.
But the thing is I had so many other things I could be working on.
This is true.
That you had already given me for homework. So I thought, this can wait.
Yes.
That's all that was. Because I'm almost ready to send you what we've been doing since our last visit.
Yes.
You know, just a little side tangent for me. What she's doing right now is her head is going down all the way, but it's like she's trying to get away from me. Mm. So her head is down, relaxed. It's not, but it's like she's just trying to
avoid.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's an avoidance behavior.
Yes.
So the nice thing about teaching anything, really, and this applies to humans as well, is that they like to pendulum. Like, mm-hmm. as we're progressing, they start going, this answer, this answer, this answer, this answer.
That's what it feels like.
And so they go from one extreme to another.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what she's doing now is okay. This is the answer. And you're going, no, ma'am, that's not the answer that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a better answer. Yeah. And so that's something that we can work on.
Okay.
But yeah, totally. I agree. Like you already knew what she was doing. That's not relaxed. That's avoiding.
Yeah.
Right.
I felt like Armani did a lot of the pendulum swing.
Oh yeah.
That's his MO.
That's his MO. And I had to have bad days to have better days.
Yeah.
And I talked to you, and then we have a friend in common, Rachel, who's also super into Pirelli. And I would literally have these long ass conversations, and she would be like, "Don't worry, it's the pendulum. It's swinging. It's hang in there."
Yeah, I always loved when you're like, "That's exactly what Rachel said." When I would mention, you know, we weren't even talking to each other.
No.
That's exactly what Rachel said. So it's nice to hear, right? Because there is at least. In the world of natural horsemanship, there really is like theory out there of good horsemanship. And the technique is usually what's varying from
it is
human to human. And, you know, and again, that's the other thing that I do with my students all the time is I can see your face. So if we're talking about something and your face kind of gives me a, I go, okay, let's talk about that. Why do you have that reaction? What in the back of your brain is saying, I don't, that's your superhero saying, I don't know if I agree with that. Because to me, having a conversation actually helps us process, us as humans.
Yes.
Process. Okay. Why?
Yes.
Again, it comes back to the why.
Yes.
And I have to have that processing for me personally. I've been in horses for 40 years, and I need to know why in every single facet of my life. I do not like to do things without knowing why. There is a purpose to every move I make with horses, and I think it's why it's annoying for people who are near me and love me, and I'm like, no, go away. I don't want you to help me with poop. I need to do this for myself, right? And
spinning wheel as we pick up the poop.
Yeah.
Poop and spinning wheel.
So one of my favorite things that you brought up was your number two about getting along with your trainer.
Mm.
And that's how I knew between the Pirelli trainer that was close by and the other Pirelli trainer. After I talked to you on the phone, I was like, oh, that's who I need to work with. Because I felt like I could have those high level conversations with you and I wasn't going to be embarrassed. I was going to be able to talk to you like a normal human, and you were going to help me and bounce those ideas off for me. Because the horse is going to do what the horse is going to do, but I need to understand how the hell do I get into that pen with him and not die, right? And I needed to be able to have that conversation with you and be very realistic because I was sincerely afraid.
Yeah, and that's not a fun place to be.
No.
Because I've been there. I've been there and... I also, as an instructor, my job is to push boundaries a little bit too, as humans. I have a few people that are like, you want me to trot? And I'm like, yep, you got this. You're okay. I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm secretly holding your hand from a distance.
Yes.
Okay. But here's why. Because in order for us to improve ourselves and our horsemanship and our horses is we also have to get outside our comfort zones. But that being said, are we going to live in that place? No. We need to come back and say, okay, does this work still? Is this consistent? Are we consistent? If we were grading a maneuver every day or whatever it is, the sideways, since that's what Sandy's working on, and both directions are different.
They are.
If I'm going to grade my sideways every day or every session, okay, if I'm getting consistent 8s to 10s out of a scale of 10, that's amazing, right? Good, great. But if I'm still getting 2s, 3s, and Pat even has negative numbers, and rightfully so sometimes. Okay, then it's like, this is not working still, so let's not push forward. And again, that's partially to why I've come back to the Pirelli program a lot, is it's foundational. It's a building blocks program.
I love how straightforward it is. It makes sense. I think it really does build a person into a great trainer. Every person who's Pirelli that I have ever met and talked to, I felt like they were safe. That was my favorite thing. And I can't say that about every trainer. And I feel like trainers do tell their students what to do versus getting their student to think through it themselves, right? They are handing them the fish. They're not teaching them to fish.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the worst things about the American riding, the way that we have set up riding in our country is, oh, you got to go jump that, jump that, jump that. I want you to do it at the canter. I need you to switch leads there. That's what you're doing right now. Not what should you be feeling while you do this? How is your horse today? Do you, you know,
how do you build those pieces? So
yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because I did not grow up in the dressage world, right? I'm like a backyard trail Western
rider. Oh, that's me.
Okay. Yeah. And dressage to me was foreign. And I'm like, ugh, arena work all the time. Bleh. Bleh. Okay. But recently I'm like, oh, I get it. It is also a foundational program.
Yes.
Classical dressage, we won't talk. That's a whole nother topic. But, okay,
yes,
but
is.
Dressage, okay? Why do they have an intro level? Because you have to build those pieces to progress to the next level. And I find that in a lot of the horse sports, that's what's lacking. Like it's a, this is the sport and this is what we do and that's that. But in my opinion, the sports that have those building blocks, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah. If you can tell the difference between a rider who's a hunter rider who was taught dressage first. And when you learn riding in Europe, you are on a line and you are not allowed to have reins on a horse for 2 years and you are learning how to canter bareback or with a bareback pack, right?
Yep.
Like it's very different. And two of my favorite types of riders are dressage riders, and I love that it's having a renaissance in America. I am so excited for Western dressage.
A good renaissance.
A good renaissance.
Yeah.
I love dressage riders. And then the other one is the people who do the, it looks like trick riding. But where it's like
vaulting. Yes.
Like think of those vaulters. They can literally ride anything. You can ride anything as a vaulter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you got on.
Well, and honestly, those girls that are out with the trick riders, even that are out with the flag and the firework that's shooting from the flag and like doing all, like they've some sort of foundational, like, good Lord, that's challenging.
All of those riders could ride anything.
Hardcore.
Yes.
But do they start out that way? No.
They find it somehow.
Well, our husbands think that we should just be able to go out and ride our horses with snake shot. And so if we just, you know, see a snake, we should just shoot it. Because.
Yeah.
And it's like our horses would flip out. Like you have to train the horse to be comfortable with that noise. And they're like, oh, just do it.
Yeah. Oh, you should just carry this gun.
Your
really?
Husband cracks me up because he's going to be the one that we put on her first to ride, just based on all the background information that we've acquired from him.
And he'll do it.
We'll put your helmet on.
He will do
it. Just sit and just ride. You'll be okay. Hold the horn.
Okay. He will do it. Trust me. Oh, my gosh. I know.
No.
We try not to get too into our husbands.
No,
only,
no,
only
no.
because they are really good horse husbands.
Yes.
As far as
same.
Like, yep, he'll do anything. He will rearrange my arena 10 times. He will build me whatever I want, but just
it goes back,
the weeds.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Best husbands. But I feel like it goes back to what you were saying about the internet and YouTube and AI. Like, that's what they see, right?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Our husbands
He's always sending me stuff on Messenger about, oh, look at, there was somebody who had their horse and they could just motion to the horse and the horse would come over and line up and just right there on the fence, just straight. And he goes, you should teach Kaya to do that. I was like, Okay. Can I show you how that looks when you start? Because you're only seeing the end result.
Mm-hmm. So another phrase that I really love from Pat Pirelli, and also what's actually made more sense to me too as of late. I don't know, when I became instructor, I was like, oh, now I actually understand these phrases even better.
Right.
The process does not look like the product.
No.
Again, the process does not look like the product. And it is a problem. Like everybody
yes.
sees, and even non-horse people who are often very opinionated, they see all these fancy things.
Right.
Which are great.
Yeah.
That's what we aim for.
Right.
In whatever discipline we're doing. But that's not what it looks like when we work through to have our horse come to us. Like my black and white, we could go out there now and he would do that. Come on, buddy. Come on.
Move
come
his
meet,
booty.
Come really? Meet me. Come meet me at the panel or whatever. The pedestal. Yes.
That's great.
Did it look like that training him?
Hell no.
No, it did not. Because what's nice about, I have ages and stages going on out in my backyard right now because I got the black and white 22-year-old who's been there, done that, but still we got some bad habits because we put those in him. Okay. I got the middle-aged kid out there, the big gray, who was like, meh, I don't know how to do that, but do I really want to do that? But I'm like, yes, sir, this is what we're doing, but it still doesn't look pretty. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he's learning to get better and better. And then I have the youngster out there that's like, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I get a panic for a moment. Oh my God, we can't do that. I don't want to do that. Like, that's the pendulum.
How old is Chance?
Five?
Oh, he's still that
five
young.
Five or six. Okay. Five or six. He's young. He's a young kid.
Okay.
And so I would like to say that horses really don't get, well, my black and white didn't get his brains until about 15.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's a gelding.
Yeah.
But it does change, you know, but there's totally an ages and stages too.
There
so,
are.
So people are like, well, my horse doesn't get it. They don't understand. And you're like, one, how old are they? Two, what breed are they? Three, how advanced of a horseman are you? And that's just like, please don't be in a hurry. As soon as you actually aren't in a hurry to accomplish something, which again comes back to my client who I told her 1 millimeter at a time and we both cringed. Okay. We actually, as soon as we stopped focusing on one thing, we were like, oh, this is actually way easier because the intention changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I feel that way about Armani.
Yes.
I feel like we went from half a millimeter to now he actually listens to me and he doesn't try to kill me and I can tell him no and he doesn't try to retaliate because before I would tell him no and
he'd blow up.
Blow up.
And if I like, it's almost like fake biting, right? Like he bites me first. So then I tap him on the mouth. He would bite me harder. It was this back and forth of no, fuck you. Fuck you. No, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And he really was like that. And now I can tell him no. And he's like, okay.
Well, and then you're getting into tug of war
mm-hmm.
with horses. And something that I've learned actually from the more advanced discipline riders that I've been riding with is like, and they usually have an accent of some sort. Why are you fighting your horse? Why are you fighting? And you're like, I'm not fighting. I don't want to fight. Why are we fighting? I don't know. What are we doing? Why are we fighting? No. Softness. Hold. Position. Go. Ask. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, but that all makes sense now because I've worked really hard to get there. But did it start there? No, it did not start there.
It didn't.
So tell me, if a horse owner could only spend 15 minutes a day with their horse, improving their partnership with their horse, what would you recommend that they do?
It depends on what they're wanting to work on. Okay, so let's say, because there's a training pyramid that we have in Pirelli Land. There's pyramids in all the
literally
the trainings. Okay, and to me they get a little complicated.
They do.
Okay, we're just in Pirelli Land for just a moment. Okay, because that's what I know best, obviously. Rapport is the foundation. Why rapport? Well, I would really like my horse to actually like me.
And want to do it.
And want to do things with me. So to me, like if you don't have the rapport with your horse, meaning you go into your horse's stall and they are not greeting you at the gate or even like, let's say they're distracted and you have a big paddock and whatever, but they're not even acknowledging that you're in that area. Because let me tell you, horses know that you're home. They don't even need to see you. They know when you're home or on the property. They know your vehicles. They know your smell.
They know what time it is.
They know what time it is. They know where the sun is. I'm actually amazed that my black and white's not pounding on the fence right now because it's past time. But That being said, if they are not acknowledging you, then we have a rapport problem. Would I want to work on anything else if I have a rapport problem? No. So what does that mean I need to do? I need to build the relationship with my horse. Often, that means sitting and waiting.
That's the hardest thing.
So hard for humans. So hard. Like, we just are not patient creatures, nor are we supposed to be. Like, we are predators, and we are in a hurry to get our food so that we can sit and eat and then sleep, which sounds amazing to me. But when I want to use my horse to go get my food, then I have to still, my horse should still actually like me. People may disagree on that topic, but that's just how I think it should be. And so my horse should be greeting me in some form, acknowledging me, greeting me.
I 100% love your answer. And I think that this is the root of why Pirelli is so successful and why you're successful, because you see that relationship as the basis. And I think that any true horse person, that should be the basis of your relationship with an animal. You do what's best for that animal at all times, including that animal being a happy, healthy, mentally stimulated, wanting to hang out with its herd kind of animal.
Yeah. And a sidetrack, and this is going to get a political for just a moment. Those horses that were stabbed in Las Vegas. Okay. Side moment. I watched those girls run on those horses, the runs. Mm-hmm. They were phenomenal. Okay. Phenomenal runs. And their horses being stabbed, not amazing, but the rapport was there, right? They had rapport with their horses because they cared for them. They wanted their horses to survive. Those were their partners. If we start thinking about our horses being our partner versus being our play toy and our item, that often is enough mentality shift to go, And like Pat says, horses were husbands in their last lives. So, and a lot of horse riders are women. So here we are dealing with, you know, a second or third husband, you know. And so if you think of it like that, like, does your husband like to be told what to do? Then, and if you have a mare especially, they're like, no way are you telling me what to do, right? Yes. So it is about the relationship. And so even if we have days where I call them come to Jesus moments with our horses, because it's, this is one of my instructor's sayings. I've always used it. She's like, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. And so we do have to have moments where we utilize pressure to help them better understand a puzzle and to solve the puzzle. But that being said, do I continuously put on that pressure? And if they've tried, do I continuously put on that pressure? No, you need to. Okay, thanks.
Take your foot off the gas.
That was a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there is also a moment of rapport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if in our 15 minutes that we spend with our horse, I think if people even understand, like, if your horse is giving you a try, you need to make sure that you're acknowledging that. And then we can build better tries and different tries. But it has to start somewhere.
Well, to put an example on that, when I first got Kaya, I work from home. And I make myself get up and go out there for 20 minutes and just every day. And in the beginning, my 15 to 20 minutes of time with her was sometimes just standing in there. And then when I got past that obstacle, my next was turning her in a circle. And so I would break up what I was trying to, my rapport with her was 15 minutes every day doing something different to earn her trust so that she would come to me. If anybody's looking for an example of what you're trying to convey, it's just take one thing and go out there and do it every day for 15 minutes. And the rewards are exponential.
Yeah. Yeah. 15 minutes, man. Some days I wish I had that much time with my own horses. It's all good.
So crazy. But it's all true. Good. We live in a modern world. And 15 minutes, remember that study we were talking about where they said that actually 15 to 20 minutes really is a horse's learning capacity.
What's funny is it's not just a horse's learning capacity. It's also a human's learning capacity. And so that's one thing that I actually am valuing technology for a little bit, is that they've learned that keep the topic to about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's not to say we won't change topics and discuss or do something else with our horse, but the topic needs to stay about 15 minutes. Because if you're mm-hmm. going past that, I mean, our brains are already thinking about what we want for dinner and where we're going to do our laundry. And horses, not that they think that way, they don't, but they're going, they've not given me any relief from this. And they're going to tune us out.
Right.
And they're going to either go deep and like shut down, or they're going to explode. And to me, that is, then we've lost our frame of learning because now we've lost our relaxation.
Oh, I love that. And you can only learn in a relaxed state.
I mean, like I tell you guys, can you do your calculus test? Let's not talk about the type of math we can and can't do, but can we do our calculus tests when we are tight and tense? I sure can't. Mm-hmm. I have to like think about, it's all good. We can puzzle solve. It's all good. I can just take what's coming at me, right? And I know for a lot of people who have anxiety about tests, that's the big thing, is like they just get so revved up mm-hmm. about the test, and then they don't do well.
And so many studies back that up.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so why wouldn't that apply to our animals as well?
Yeah. So for moving forward in your career, where do you see your end goal? Like what, I mean, obviously like you have these mini goals that are going to take you somewhere, but do you envision something for your pathway that you're going to keep striving for?
Few things. Because right now I'm having to kind of do a big shift for myself and for the business right now, and also for my personal horsemanship. One, my goal is really to just make sure that my students are as successful as they can be, knowing that I'm there to hold their hand if they want it held. I'm not really a PDA person, but hold their hand through this every step of the way, also knowing that I'm available to them if they need it. But two, I really value education. And actually, this was even before Pirelli Land. Like for me, education was always important, probably because I was just a good learner. I like to learn. And I think that continuing our education is very important. And so for myself, my progression for my personal horsemanship is to start doing more showing. Because growing up, I did a lot of dog showing growing up, but horse shows were a lot more intimidating to me because I felt that there was a lot of hoity-toity involved, and it was intimidating. And so, and also I just never did well. Just was like, well, this is not fun. I'm not doing well, you know, but also I had to get over that because it's like, it's not about, I don't need to come. Yeah, we're competing, but it's not about everybody else and their horses. It's about me and my horse. What are mm-hmm. we doing? How are we doing? Are we progressing? And so personally for me, I have one horse right now that we're working on our working equitation, which I find is so much fun because it does dressage, it does obstacles, it does speed, and it does cows. And to me, one of the things with the Pirelli Foundation is that that incorporates everything that we've learned in our foundation. So it's almost easy to progress to this particular sport and discipline because it's all encompassing. So that's my goals. We're just going to continue to progress through our working equitation, particularly with my big gray. Because he's young and athletic and has a good brain, a good mind for us to be able to do that. For my personal, professional business side, again, my big goal is that we're progressing people to be able to find more credentialed, better credentialed education, and so that they can work on pieces at home and then contact me and say, now I need help. This is what we've done. This is what we're getting. I don't know what to do from here. And so that's kind of a big goal for me, is really teaching them to fish versus giving them a fish. Because in the end, I do think that they're going to just be more successful all around. And if one or both of us is no longer around, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember what Jessica said to me many. Because instructor things still come into my brain. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what they were saying to me at that moment in time. You know, it comes out of nowhere.
Right.
But that's my goal, really. Overall.
That's beautiful. That's overall. So beautiful. Because it's this art that we pass on.
Yeah. I don't want to be I don't know what a good word is for this, but crutch is coming to mind. I don't want to be the crutch. I want to be
the wings.
I want to be the nest.
The wind beneath their wings.
Yeah, I want to be the nest. Mm-hmm. Then they go fly away. And if they pursue something more, wonderful. Go do that. And then find somebody who knows what they're doing. Because there's disciplines I'm like, I have an understanding of. I understand the gist of it. But if you want me to teach you that is not... No. That's why we teach with other people, right? And that are good at their disciplines. But my goal is to build your foundation with you and your horse. Because then you get a different horse or your horse has shifted in some form and you need help. That's my goal. Let's work on the foundation. Why is it not working? What is broken? Then go pursue your specific disciplines.
I have loved this conversation. I love your answer. I cannot thank you enough because I think that you fully stressed foundation the entire conversation. And that's how it should be.
Agreed.
In our sport, in our hobby, in our lives. Because let's face it, this is life with horses.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time too. We know you're super busy and I'm just happy that we were able to nail you down.
See, here's the deal is I got to show off my house.
But we wanted to see it anyway. So
there we are.
So, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Aww,
we love you.
Yeah. You guys are great students.
Great we students. Are. We're the best.
They are. They are great
we
students.
Put in the work. We
they
put
do
in the
put
work.
In the work.
We do.
Aww. And they message me at weird times of the day, but they put in the work and I don't care.
Thanks, Jessica.
Toodles.
Hey, friends. That's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Sandy and Kara stirrups swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild birds call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not looking back.